All right, Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the beauty of it and for everything that it stands for. Lord, we take everything that comes within the day and we just give you glory for it. Even in this heat, we don't really understand why it gets so hot sometimes. But in amongst what you want, you know, it's just you're in control of all that, and we appreciate who you are. Father, I'm thinking also of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into the flames. Nothing was scorched on them. You know, they didn't feel the heat at all. It's like, may that happen when we, you know, looking at your word, that the heat doesn't distract us from what the Holy Spirit is moving to say. And we just pray that your word settles in upon us and is there for eternity. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, our message today is going to be the last of the series that we have, the Word of God. And this one here really comes down to, that it gives us understanding. And this actually comes because I forgot when I actually started this sermon, but I did all of them together kind of in a really condensed version. And then we started peeling apart and looking at each one separately, right? Well, it was Tom McKeag that said afterwards, not Tom McKeag, sorry, Tom Best that came after me, after church, and said, the Word of God gives us understanding too, because Mary Beth had given a verse that day, and it really touched him. And he says, it's really true though. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it really does. So I was like, that's why we have this one up here today, and it's because of Tom Best that puts it in there. And again, the whole meaning is, what does it mean to us? Because it's not just about a bunch of scripture verses being thrown out. It's just how does this apply to us? How does it relate to our lives that we have today? How does it relate to our relationship with God? So we're going to look at that real closely. We're going to begin with someone that had an astronomical level of understanding and wisdom, and that was Solomon. Now, I just want to go back to 1 Kings, and I want to look a little bit about what Solomon was able to do in terms of the wisdom that God gave him and the understanding of so many different things. And it starts right out here in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. It says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Now, first off, how many people would like that? Hello. I was like, yeah, I mean, they have our minds just like so attuned with everything that's on there. They have a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashores. That means that this guy could comprehend a lot. And it's hard for us to understand that because we're all just kind of common folk. You know, our level of understanding is say around here, and his is like up in the ceiling, and it's like it's not even close. And I always talk to some people that, you know, felt like they have great intelligence and stuff like that. And it was actually my ex-brother-in-law. He was smart, no doubt. He's a smart guy, but he couldn't stand being around people that weren't smart. Yeah, it was like, okay, so that means you can't stand being around us, you know. Hence the X part, I think. At any rate, you know, with great wisdom and understanding and stuff, there comes a different level of understanding everybody around you too. You see things differently. But look at this here. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any man, including Ethan the Ethrite, wiser than Hermon, Calico, and Dardra, the sons of Malo. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. So it wasn't something that he just had and all of a sudden, you know, just was gifted. And those people around him were made aware of that. But his novelty of his wisdom went around the world. Around the world. And people came from all over to be able to see him and to hear him. It says also that he spoke 3,000 proverbs and songs, numbered 1,005. Right? So it's like, how many psalms can you memorize? Okay, so he's got 3,000 down. And And just to think of the songs that are there too, that's, you know, that could just bring forth a song and have that song, you know, just in their heads. And I know there was some songs, some kids at school that would play the guitar. And do you remember there was one of, was it one of the Bullocks, Jeff? And that's not Jesse, but his older brother. Was it Jesse? Yeah. And he's like, I said, how do you know so many songs? He says, I don't know. That's really what he says. He says, but when the song starts playing, the words just come to him. You know, and it's like, so if I asked him what the words were for the song, he said, I got to play the song, you know, and the words come out through. So somehow that's all tied together. It's beyond me. I don't really understand it. Yeah, I know. It's like 1,005. And it's like, it's greater than all that. It says, he described plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows around out of the walls. He taught about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world and who had heard of his wisdom. So it wasn't just about being able to rule a nation, Israelites. He was able to have this great understanding of how the world worked. And all this, the different species that were around, whether it was plant or animal, reptile, it doesn't matter. It just seems like he had such a neat understanding of that. He built the temple that King David wanted to build, but God said, no, not you, because you're a man of war, but your son will build it. And Solomon built it right to the way that King David wanted it built, the way God wanted it built. And when he had it all finished, God came down, his presence came down into the temple, so much so that the priests couldn't do their ceremonial things because they couldn't see. It was just covered up with the spirit. You know, it was just crazy how all of that was able to be done. It's pretty phenomenal and pretty amazing. Now you think of such a person. Great wealth of knowledge, great wealth of understanding, great wealth of wisdom. And yet, let's look later on in the scripture here, because it says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, and I didn't put 3 and 4 on your sheet there, but this morning I put that in there. It said that he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. And 300 concubines. The smartest man on the earth turned his back on God. How many people want the wisdom of Solomon? How many people would feel like they would be able to maintain their relationship with God the way that he originally had it, but then at the end of his life gave it up? Because look what happens here when we start reading verses 9 and 10. The Lord became angry with Solomon because of his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's commands. The smartest... That's right. That's a good way to put it. Apparently, he wasn't that smart. Apparently, he didn't have the understanding that he should have had of who God is. But he had greater understanding, greater wisdom than anybody here on the earth. And then we get in Psalm 53:2, and it says this: God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand and who seek God. If God came down today, and you can see God looking down, his eyes piercing this Harrisville Christian Church, would he find people that understand him and seek him? I think he would. I really do. I'm not questioning that and saying, oh, he's gonna, you know, that big hammer's gonna come down right on top of you because obviously you're not understanding or you're not seeking the Lord. I feel that everyone here is doing that very thing. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. Now, when he said, you're going to say to yourself, yeah, but I don't know God that much. I don't really understand his ways. Well, you don't understand his ways. Understanding that we look at here is not the type of understanding that Solomon had. Solomon understood knowledge. Solomon understood the way things worked in the world. What Solomon missed was that he misunderstood God. And that's real important, but go ahead.
A lot of that same issue out there everywhere now, you know, being on the internet, being able to get all the information right at our fingers, you see a lot of
self-reliance. Oh, yeah. Yep, and they're living off of their own understanding of who God is, right? And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to understand Him. Well, what does it mean to understand God? Right? Does that mean that we need to know every move that He's going to be making? No, it really doesn't. Does it mean to understand that we you know, how the body is made and how each finger, you know, operates with the toe and the eyes and the ears and the mouth and senses of smell and taste and all that, how that works and everything? What we're going to do is we're going to be looking at that. What does it mean to understand God a little bit? So we're going to take some scripture verses here. Sure.
It's a really quick story. The preacher guy who spent his whole life trying to understand God, I think I shared this with you guys. He was out on the beach one time and he saw a little girl digging a hole in the beach. What are you digging a hole for? She said, well, I'm going to put the ocean in it. He says, you cannot put the ocean in that little tiny hole. And she says, it is no harder for me to put the ocean in this hole than for you to understand God. So I'd be an angel, right? It's a wake-up call for him, and it kind of goes along with what you're saying. There's no way mankind can understand God.
Right. So what does that understanding mean? And it really comes down to that we have to have a different perspective. The study that we're doing with Ray Vanderlyn and stuff, he keeps talking about Western thinking versus Eastern thinking. And we really understand Scripture differently than that of the Eastern people, you know, the Asian people and that around the Hebrew area, because they look at metaphors differently. We're kind of constructed, you know, things in little compartment boxes and stuff like that. Theirs is more fluid in their understanding. And so anyhow, we're looking at this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. It says, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. Well, who is who that is true? Who is God? So He's giving us the ability to understand that there is a God. Now I'm telling you, that sounds like a stupid statement, but for some people, they don't understand that concept. And they can't understand that concept. And it's really hard for them to be able to do that because there was a kid at school, he was like, Mr. Galt, I only believe what I see. You know? And I said, well, I guess you don't believe in air then. He said, what? I said, well, you can't see air, so I don't know how you're surviving here. And he's thinking, well, you know what I mean. And I'm like, no, I don't, because you said you only believe what you see, and that's one of the things you can't see, but yet it's there. I said, God is the same way. But see, he couldn't understand that concept, because it's not part of who he is. And that little statement there really makes a big an idea in terms of the worldly people, the people that claim to know who God is, but don't know who God is. Right? They may know scripture verses, they may know how to say the right thing at the right time, but they don't have a relationship with God. They don't understand that aspect of who God is. In this case here, the idea is that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. The whole idea of understanding is to know who God is. Yes, we get to know some of His character. We don't know the fullness of God. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that you understand that there is a God out there. And there's one particular God that is true. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, it says, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." Let's stop there for a moment. All right, so you don't know what God's thinking. You don't know what God's plan really is, maybe for you at this moment. We know His eternal plan in terms of He wants to be our Father and our God, and He wants us to be His people. I get that. But we don't always know why He allows things to happen. We don't always understand, you know, the people that come into our lives, and sometimes they're a real thorn in our side, and sometimes they're a real blessing. We don't know that sort of thing. But what we do know is that we trust that God obviously knows what He's doing. And we know that. And we have an understanding that we aren't going to understand God completely. Right? It says that we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So God has given us something freely so that we can understand God. Anybody know what that is? The Spirit of God. So how do you get the Spirit of God?
Ask for it.
Yeah, you just ask for it. God, I need your Spirit. I need it. And you know what? When you say that, you're recognizing and you're understanding who God is. Because when you're asking something like of His Spirit, you're asking from a God that has a Spirit. And you understand that aspect. So though you may not use those words exactly, you know, in terms of like salvation, Lord God, I'm a sinner, you know, and go through those steps that you want to call it, you don't have to really do that to believe in God. What you have to recognize is that and understand who He is. And He is God Almighty. He is not man, He's not me, He's not you, He is God. And there's nothing that's even close to who He is in terms of His Spirit or whatever. But it's kind of neat though. He says we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So what does that mean in terms of when we are given God's Spirit, that allows us to understand God more? Not know of His ways or anything, but understand who He is more. And you see, that affects our lives. Because if we're going around, we're brought up in a household, I've seen this again with students and stuff, they'll respect me because I'm a man. But as soon as they go into another class and there's a woman teacher, oh yeah. So they understand that they should respect men, but you don't have to respect women because dad never respects women. Right? And so they've come to understand that it's not the position that the person has, as I say, as a teacher or a leader of some sort, that it's a gender of the person. Right? And how wrong that is. But when the Spirit comes in upon us, then we can understand what God is telling us, what's important. Right? He tells us that He alone is the one that works with it. We continue this on. It says, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by the human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Right? So if you don't have the Spirit, it's going to be hard to understand that. In fact, let's look what it says. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The things that God says to you have to be spiritually discerned, and you can't discern them without the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, then you cannot understand God.
Doubting yourself.
What's that?
Doubting yourself.
Yeah, that's what you would be doing. And that's exactly the way the world works. The world, as you said, they've got their own truth, right, Bonnie? And they kind of spit it out on the internet however they think it's right, whatever, because it sounds good, it's got eloquent words, or it's got some new idea out there that it's going to, you know, sell, you know, and make them millions of dollars because of their insight. But if they don't have the Spirit, they cannot understand God. So the Word of God gives understanding. And when we talk about what does that mean to us, it only gives us meaning if we have the Spirit of God, which is given freely. You choose God today, God gives you understanding because He's given you the Spirit to understand who God is. So even when God is gifting some people with this miraculous brain, you know, that can memorize, what was it, 3,000 psalms, you know, 1,005 songs, right? Manage 1,000 women, you know, some of them, and yet they fail. They fail miserably in the end. The fact that they start worshiping false idols instead of worshiping the one true God that gave him the gift of all that was there. I tell you, Solomon, in all of his intelligence, lacked understanding of God. And yet, here we are, no big doctrines, no big degrees. Maybe you got some, I don't know, you're just not sharing and stuff. I don't have any. And yet we get this gift from God, Spirit, to be able to know who He is. That's powerful. Right? Don't ever minimize your Christianity, because it is the greatest gift that you can have, your relationship with God. And so we start looking at this in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 19. He says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking, in the futility of their understanding." You can't have a relationship with God if you're thinking like a worldly person. And that's what Paul's really saying to them. Stop living like the world. Stop thinking like the world. Allow that Holy Spirit who is inside of you to reign and decide how you live and the things that you do. Don't worry about what the world is going to say is right and wrong. Paul is saying, listen to the Spirit, because that's where you have it. He says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Due to their refusal to believe in God. And how simple it really is. But the problem is, we need to surrender something when we believe in God. We need to surrender our own will. We need to accept God's will as being supreme, not ours. And it comes easy, it really does, when you have an understanding that God is who He is. That when we believe in that God, we can trust Him with our lives. That we can surrender those things that really don't mean anything to God. And we can surrender those things that we think mean something to God. And in the end, all that counts is that we believe who He is. Because when we believe who He is, then we have an understanding that He is God Almighty. The God that always has been, that is, and will always be in the future. But when you live in a world perspective, you look at civilizations that come, religious cultures that come, and then they all go after a period of time. Sometimes they last 2 years, sometimes they last 200 years. But in the end, all kingdoms are destroyed over time. All empires fall, except one. And that's the kingdom of God. And when you come to an understanding and recognizing who God is and the essence of that, then life just becomes easy. Because then we just get to be able to follow that. And we don't live in this ignorance. Or we don't have that hardened of the heart. It says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to the sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a constant lust for more. All right, does that remind you of anybody or anything, any nation that you can think of right now? Certain nations have a lust for war. Certain nations have a lust for dominance. Certain nations have a lust for power. Certain people are that way too. Because of the ignorance in their understanding of who God is. And they can't understand who God is because their hearts won't allow them, because their spirit is their own spirit. It's not God's spirit in them. And it's so over and over in Scripture here. So let's look on Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the understanding of who Christ is, that's the basis of our knowledge that we have and our wisdom. Wisdom is just taking your knowledge and putting it into action. That's what wisdom is. Understanding is that we need to have God for any of that knowledge or wisdom to have any root in the stuff that we do. I want you to ask yourself, do you have the understanding of who God is? Or is your understanding of God limited by your own mind? Is it really possible that God can do all things? Such as put an ocean into a little dugout spot in the sand. Is your mind of who God is limited based upon your experience of who He is? Is God limited based upon what you've been taught? Is God limited based upon what the world is saying and you're listening to the world? You see, God doesn't want you to understand the world. He wants you to understand Him. So that when we're in this world, then we can speak like Paul and we can share the gospel with a complete understanding that God has given us and knowledge of who He is, so that when we speak, we're not speaking our own words, but we're speaking the words of God to those that need to be able to hear it. Yeah, you see, that's important to us, because the things that we say are important to God. So, we look at this aspect over here in this Colossians. We talk about that mystery of God. Really, that's just the church, you know, because it was never mentioned in the Old Testament. Nothing in the Old Testament ever spoke about the church, what we're in right now, this church age. There's no understanding of that at all. And that's the mystery. That how did that develop? How did that come out to be? But it's God's plan to be able to do that sort of thing. So that when we look at it and we understand that it's His church, not just the Harrisville Christian Church, right? It's not our church, it's His church. And so we just get to be part of that sort of church that's set up in there. And Christ is the umbrella over everything that's good and set up in there. But when we come to the understanding of who God is without limit, then our faith in Him can just blossom. Our trust in Him becomes more secure. Because then we get to stand on that rock instead of standing on the sand that can so easily shift and be moved. We've got it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, he says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." How many people believe this? Raise those hands. I want to see, it's literally, I want to see how many people believe this. I do. Do you know what gives you the ability to be able to believe that? The Spirit of God. You say those words to somebody down at the local 7-Eleven, and they're like, "What are you, weird or something? That makes no sense to me." I'm not saying you can't have Christians at 7-Eleven. I'm just saying it's sometimes in the world is what I'm speaking about. You say those words, and those words mean nothing. Absolutely nothing to people. And yet to us, that's the foundation of why we believe that God has redeemed us from the penalty of sin, that we now are free of death and have life eternal with God Almighty. Does that have new meaning to you when other people have no clue what that means? You understand that not because of your own understanding, but because the Spirit is in you, giving you understanding. To say, I'm not a very good Christian, I'm kind of a weak Christian. You understand that, you are a great Christian. Because you have allowed the Spirit to teach you the very fundamentals about God and who He is and the love that He has for you, and you, everybody around us. That's awesome. That really is unbelievably awesome. And look at this here in Luke 18, 34. He says, "The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what He was talking about." You know what He's talking about just before this? He's talking about that the prophecies of the Old Testament are going to be fulfilled in me, Christ. That Christ is going to be taken to Jerusalem. He's going to be put on trial. He's going to be beaten, insulted, spit upon, smacked, and killed. And then on the third day, he was going to rise again. They had no clue what that meant. Do you know why they didn't understand? The Spirit wasn't given to them at this point. They had no idea what that meant. But later on, if you look at Luke 18, we're going to go all the way to Luke 34 or 24, verses 45 through 49. This is on that walk to Emmaus after Christ has died, after He's risen again. A couple guys walking down this road, and they end up meeting somebody. And look at this. This person that was speaking all about Scripture and revealing the truths to it, and all this, look what they said. What happened? "Then He opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures He told them. This is what was written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in this name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Jesus opened the minds of those two individuals on the road to Emmaus. And you know what? They understood everything that He said. Not on their own accord, but because the Spirit filled them to be able to understand what was being said. Now, I want you to be thinking about this. When you read Scripture and you do your daily devotions, do you pray, "Lord God, reveal to me, help me to understand the words that I'm about to read"? Do you pray that? If you don't, you should. Every time you go to read Scripture, ask God to reveal to you what it is that you need to understand. Because just reading the scripture makes no sense. And Jim, where's Jim? I'm going to pick on Jim. And I really appreciate this about Jim, because we've been at Bible study an awful lot. We've talked a lot about his stuff here. So I'm going to tell every personal thing about Jim that nobody ever wants to know. No, I'm not going to do that. But Jim said that he used to read the Bible to try to prove it wrong. Find fault in it. And he would do that repeatedly. And then he made up his mind. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start reading Scripture as if it is God's absolute truth. And he said that as soon as he did that, all of a sudden, the Bible became alive to him. Am I right, Jim? Look, there you go. I do not lie in church. No. I might push things a little bit here, one there. But that meant an awful lot to me, because it's true that if you read Scripture with a closed mind, not inviting God to it, you will understand nothing. But when you invite Him into it, that's when the truths are revealed. And that's why we need to pray for God's Spirit to be with us in all aspects. That's why I pray even before I do the message. If you listen to my prayers, it's all about the Holy Spirit here. Take the words that are spoken, you know, and mold them. Put them where they need to be in the people that are around us. Because that's what's important. It's not my words that are important. It's His words that are important. Okay? And we need to be able to hear those things right here. So this whole aspect over here is like the minds were opened up. And the last scripture is one that we've already had. And I want you to be thinking about this again all week long, please. In Psalm 53:2, God looks down from heaven. Right? What is He looking for? He says, on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand and any who seek God. Again, we're not saying that you understand the ways of the world like Solomon did, but you understand who God is and that you seek that God. That's what God is looking for. Will He find it when He returns? Even in Scripture, He asks that very question. Will I find faith when I return? I know He'll find it here. I know your hearts. And God just wants your heart to be drawn to Him more and more and more. It's not this plateau that we're going to get to. It's going to be an ever-increasing relationship with God. Because as we allow the Spirit to reign in us more and more, then that understanding becomes clearer and clearer, more over and over and over again. That you know, and you've got this discerning aspect in your heart, you know that's of the world, this is of God. A lot of people don't know the difference. But when the Spirit's in you, you do know the difference. And having that understanding makes all the difference in our lives. Amen? Amen. God, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You for bringing us here today for that very thing. And I thank You for this series about Your Word. The very Word of God and what it means to us. You are Spirit. You are love. And You are everything. And You have chosen us to be Your children. You've chosen us to share Your wisdom and Your character. You've chosen us to be a light in the people around us. Lord God, I pray that You continue to allow Your Spirit to reign in us so that we can do that very thing for You. That we can be a witness wherever we go. We pray all of this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.